Welcome to the Jennings Wire Online Magazine podcast series, where we feature interviews with top authors and experts. My name is Stacey Amaral Kaufman. I'm the radio director of Annie Jennings PR, the national firm behind the online feature magazine sensation, JenningsWire.com, a special community of bloggers and podcasters that is capturing the heart of America. There's nothing like it on the web, and we invite you to visit JenningsWire.com to discover the blogger that is just right for you. And today's guest is exercise physiologist Debbie Friend, who has spent years counseling, educating, and training countless heart patients and healthy adults on how to develop, adopt, and practice sound dietary and exercise habits. And of course, stress is a huge part of that. And today, we'll be talking about how you can finally be able to relax. So welcome, Debbie. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Stacey. It's my pleasure.
And why don't we first go ahead and define exactly what stress is? I think we all have an idea of what stress is, but from your exercise physiologist perspective, what exactly is stress and how does it impact us?
Well, stress is our body's reaction to any change we must adapt to. It's an everyday fact of life, and we simply cannot avoid it. And we experience stress from four basic sources. One would be the environment, whether it's the weather, pollen, noise, pollution, or traffic. A second way would be through social means, such as whether facing deadlines, financial problems, demands for our time and attention, and even a loss of a loved one. A third way would be physiological, such as when children go through that rapid growth of adolescence, or when older women go through menopause, illness, aging, inadequate sleep, poor nutrition, lack of exercise, and injuries. And a final way is just our thoughts, how we label and interpret our present situation, and even worrying about the future. So any problem, whether it's real or whether it's imagined, causes our bodies to make a series of changes to prepare us to respond to this perceived danger. And we basically go into survival mode. We think of this, and many of us know this, as the fight or flight response. So whenever this happens, our heart rate and our blood pressure, our muscle tension, and our metabolism increases. Our hands and feet get cold as blood is directed away from our extremities and our digestive system and goes to our larger muscles that can help us either to fight or to run away. And we get that butterfly sensation in our stomachs, our diaphragm locks, our pupils dilate to sharpen our vision, and our hearing becomes more acute. And interestingly, Stacey, our bodies react the same way whether we're dealing with the negative extreme of actual physical danger to the opposite end of the spectrum of falling in love. And this even happens if we're just thinking or worrying about a problem or a potential circumstance.
And Debbie, like you said, this is happening on a daily basis to everyone from those four areas. So why is it that some people, they just fall apart under this circumstance, and other people are able to thrive?
Because what is stressful to one person may not be to another, and how violently or calmly we respond to a stressor is generally it's a learned response, and it is under our control. One thing to keep in mind is it is never the situation, but it's how we respond to it. And it's our thoughts that determine the impact of the stress that we'll have on our lives. One example that I love to give is imagine that there are a group of us sitting in a room and a bus pulls up, somebody comes out and says, "Everybody get in, we're going to an amusement park right now. There's a brand new roller coaster that we're going to try out. It's the tallest, it's the fastest, it's got the steepest drop, and we all have to go." So we all get on the bus, we get on this roller coaster, all experience the same ride. Now when we get off that roller coaster, there's going to be people in that group who absolutely loved it, thought it was thrilling, it was the most fantastic experience that they've ever had. Other people are going to say, "Hey, you know what, this was fun. I'm glad I got to experience it. Maybe next time I go back, I'll do this again." And there are going to be others who come off of there totally white as a ghost, shaking in their boots, kissing the ground, thankful that they're alive and survived the ride. Yet everybody was on that same roller coaster. So why is it that everybody had a different reaction to it? And there's actually a directly proportional relationship between lack of control and stress. So the greater the sense of loss of control, the higher the stress. And it's all dependent on how we feel. So when we perceive that the challenges we are facing is dangerous or difficult, painful, or unfair, we're going to react more strongly to it.
And what are some simple, quick, and effective ways to stay calm in the heat of the moment?
There are a few things that we can do, and one of the most effective relaxation techniques is to just breathe deeply in a situation. And if you want to practice along with me, first we could breathe out slowly and completely, and then next breathe in slowly and deeply. And practice this several times over and over. It helps to calm somebody down. And it's very easy to do, but most importantly is to practice it so that when you're in a situation, it just comes automatically. Now, if someone is in a panic mode, a really great thing to do is to breathe in slowly for a count of five, hold that breath for a count of five, and then exhale slowly again for a count of five. And if someone is having a panic attack, just inhale and exhale through the nose, because this will slow the breathing down and will prevent hyperventilation. Another thing, when people get extremely stressed, is their whole body just goes into tense. And that's why you get the tense neck and the muscles and shoulders and the headaches. So what someone can do is just actively tense all the muscles in the whole body and hold that for as long as you can without feeling any pain. And then slowly release the tension and feel it leaving your body. And you could do that a few times. And if you find areas that are more tense than others, just hold that tension in that area and let it go. Take a few deep breaths. One thing that I always recommend to people is to smile when they're under a stressful situation. And smile as widely as you can, and then take a deep breath. And as you let it out, let your jaw hang slack, let your shoulders sag, and let your forehead smooth out. This actually breaks up a lot of tension that we create in ourselves. And when we are under a lot of stress, our faces get that hard look, and our breathing is only in the upper parts of our chests. Our jaws and our shoulders are tense, and our brows are furrowed. And this is just a great way to unwind. A very interesting physiological fact is that you cannot smile and be happy and be angry at the same time. It's impossible. So yeah, just try it now. Smile and smile widely and think to yourself, I am so angry.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
It doesn't. It's amazing.
It really doesn't work.
It's impossible. It's one of those gifts of nature.
Oh, good. Well, that's an easy way to get out of that angry kind of mindset then. Now, quickly, Debbie, we don't have much time left, but I know you wanted to mention laughter yoga and how that helps relieve stress.
Mm-hmm. Well, laughter yoga is a relatively new exercise concept which combines simulated laughter with gentle breathing, and it teaches the body to laugh without relying on jokes or humor. The best thing is you don't have to be happy, you don't have to be in a good mood, and you don't have to have a sense of humor. You fake it until you make it, and the motion creates the emotion. And being around a group of people who are laughing will make you laugh, even if you don't feel that it's something that you start out wanting to do. And there's a lot of benefits to laughing. It helps reduce anxiety, stress, and depression. It increases endorphin levels, which alleviates pain in our body, and it increases the production of serotonin, our body's natural antidepressant. People who laugh don't worry as much as people who don't. And it's also considered, if someone is laughing continuously for about 10 to 15 minutes, it's exercise. It's a form of aerobic exercise.
Well, there you go. We've got everything all wrapped up into one, and our listeners can learn much more about laughter yoga since we didn't have a ton of time to go into it, and more information on Debbie Friend and her stress management at her website, which is lifecurrents.net. That's lifecurrents, like the river, .net. So thank you so much, Debbie, for being here.
Thank you, Stacy.
This podcast is presented by Annie Jennings of the national publicity firm, Annie Jennings PR, the creator of Jennings Wire Online Magazine. Jennings Wire is capturing the heart of America with its rich community of talented, insightful, and relevant bloggers and podcasters. So please visit JenningsWire.com and discover the blogger that's just right for you. Till next time.